And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quemery. A federal appeals court has affirmed Metlakatla tribal members' right to fish in their traditional waters without state permits. But a new opinion issued Tuesday by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals leaves open the question of where exactly those traditional fishing grounds are. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
Metlakatla Mayor Albert Smith welcomed the news.
First of all, it's something that we've been fighting for a long time. So we are extremely pleased to know that the Ninth Circuit so strongly supported our fishing rights.
Metlakatla's tribal government sued Governor Mike Dunleavy and other state officials in 2020. The tribe asserted that the 1891 federal law that created the Annette Islands Reserve, the only reservation in Alaska, guaranteed the tribe fishing rights throughout much of the southern panhandle. Congress passed the 19th century law after members of the tribe relocated from their previous home in Metlakatla, British Columbia, at the invitation of President Grover Cleveland. Senior U.S. District Court Judge John Sedgwick rejected the tribe's claim and dismissed the case the following year. Metlakatla appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled in favor of the tribe last year in a 28-page decision. The opinion said that Congress guaranteed Metlakatla's tribal members the right to fish in their traditional waters despite the state's limited entry program, which limits the number of vessels targeting particular species of fish. The Ninth Circuit's three-judge panel initially ruled that Metlakatla tribal members had the right to fish in Districts 1 and 2, as laid out by the State Department of Fish and Game. Those encompass areas around Ketchikan's Revillagigedo Island and the southeastern shore of Prince of Wales Island. Smith, Metlakatla's mayor, says the tribe has records of its members bringing back fish from as far as the Aleutian Chain, but he acknowledges that the tribe's fishermen largely harvested from waters within a day's travel of the reserve at the southeastern tip of the state.
Time immemorial, we've been fishing all of those districts, 1 and 2, all the way down to, the border.
But the new opinion notes that the state of Alaska disputes the extent of the tribe's historical fishing grounds. It'll be up to the lower court to determine just how far the tribe's fishermen should be allowed to go. In its new order, the court also denied a request from the state of Alaska to reconsider its decision or put it before a larger Ninth Circuit panel. Alaska Department of Law spokesperson Patty Sullivan said in a statement that the Ninth Circuit panel, quote, continues to fundamentally misunderstand the history and legal framework in this case. She said the court should have sent the case back to the lower court for further arguments on the scope of the 1891 law. Sullivan said the state is reviewing the opinion and considering its next steps. Smith says Metlakatla is excited to continue with the case.
But we are ready for the next phase of this case and look forward to finally and permanently restoring our community's fishing rights.
The court's decision would allow tribal members to fish, quote, for personal consumption and ceremonial purposes as well as for commercial purposes. But details of how the decision might be implemented once the case concludes remain unclear. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And Alaska's governor says he'll appeal a pending federal court ruling that threatens to shut down the Southeast King salmon season. Governor Mike Dunleavy was unequivocal when answering a question from a listener during Alaska Public Media's Talk of Alaska on Tuesday. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Duval, Washington-based Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service in U.S. District Court in 2019, arguing that a flaw in the agency's environmental analysis left a small population of endangered killer whales in Puget Sound exposed to further harm due to the interception of their primary food source, king salmon, also known as Chinook. In barest terms, the proposed remedy to correct this alleged oversight by NIMS involves shutting down the Southeast Alaska salmon troll fishery until the full impact of the Chinook harvest on southern resident killer whales can be assessed. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game intervened in support of the National Marine Fisheries Service. So did the Alaska Trollers Association. It hasn't gone well. Although a federal judge in 2020 declined to impose an injunction against the Southeast troll fishery, the latest report and recommendation in the U.S. District Court of Western Washington in December 2022 leaves open the possibility that the Wild Fish Conservancy could prevail. If a judge signs off on the recommendation, trolling for king salmon in Southeast might be off limits for 10 months of the year, making the fishery uneconomic and unviable for many trollers. Although the state joined the lawsuit, it's been relatively quiet about the case. No fighting words, at least in public. That changed on Tuesday morning when Juneau troller and four-decade-plus fisherman Tom Fisher posed the question directly to Governor Dunleavy on Alaska Public Media's Talk of Alaska.
My question is, will the state commit all resources necessary to take this court case to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and, if necessary, the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Thank you.
The answer is yes, because this is another example of opportunities being curtailed in Alaska. And again, I think we do fisheries better than the feds did when we were a territory. So the answer to that is yes.
We very much appreciate the governor's conviction on pursuing this lawsuit to the end.
Amy Daugherty is the director of the Alaska Trollers Association.
You know, it's just so frivolous and so harmful to all of Southeast and our way of life here. So it's such good news.
Daugherty says her job has changed dramatically since the Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit 3 years ago. The existential threat to Southeast trolling, which is somewhere between 700 and 800 small businesses across the region, has grown as the suit has progressed. She says the issue has not been overhyped.
I think it's extremely valid. It's extremely justified to be very concerned about the current situation. Wild Fish Conservancy has a lot more means, certainly, than the Alaska Trollers Association, and they seem to be applying it with absolute conviction. So we are just doing everything we can. We're getting a lot of resolutions. We're getting new money every day, a lot from fishermen, a lot from organizations, processors, stores even, and we're just hopeful that there will be some common sense brought forward through this process.
It's unclear what the immediate impact of a ruling in favor of the Wild Fish Conservancy would have on Southeast trolling, given this newly reelected governor's interest in fighting the suit to the bitter end. During the same Talk of Alaska, Governor Dunleavy didn't just go to bat for trollers. He reaffirmed a commitment to the industry as a whole and to subsistence harvesters on Alaska's interior river systems, whose way of life is threatened by a still unexplained collapse of king salmon and chum runs.
I would say that this is priority number one when it comes to resources for this administration for the next 4 years. And, you know, missing a fishing season, two or three fishing seasons, has a detrimental effect, not just, as you said, on food, but also on the fact that it's difficult to pass down the ways of life and the culture if you can't bring the kids out to fish camp. And so we're going to do everything we can to turn this around because Alaska is fisheries.
A final decision by the U.S. District Court of Western Washington on the December 13th report and recommendation in the case of the Wild Fish Conservancy versus the National Marine Fisheries Service et al. Is pending. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Genetic genealogy recently enabled Alaska State Troopers to identify a human skull discovered 25 years ago. Trooper Interior Alaska Commander Captain Eric Spitzer says the skull was reported found by a pair of hunters along the Porcupine River near the Canadian border in September 1997 and subsequently retrieved and delivered to the state medical examiner.
The cause of death was suspected of being the result of a bear mauling.
Spitzer says the identity of the bear attack victim remained unknown until last April when a DNA sample from the skull was compared to a genetic genealogy database, enabling investigators to hone in on relatives and tentatively identify it as belonging to Gary Frank Southerden of New York.
The Alaska State Troopers contacted a suspected brother of Gary who submitted a DNA sample to the to Family Tree DNA, which subsequently resulted in a positive identification determining that they were indeed brothers.
Spitzer says troopers were also able to fill in the Alaska part of Southerden's story.
While speaking with family members, the Alaska State Troopers learned that Gary was dropped off in and around the area where the remains were found sometime in the early to mid-1970s, presumably to do some hunting. He has never been heard or seen by his family since then. A family biography and a grave marker for Southerden annotates he was lost somewhere in Alaska at the age of 25.
Spitzer says that Southerden's brother was notified about the positive identification December 27th and put in contact with the state medical examiner's office so the family could make arrangements to take possession of the remains. As for the weather, it's currently 31 degrees and snowing a little bit here in Juneau. Tonight, snow showers are likely, and tomorrow, rain and snow is likely again, and that's pretty much true through the weekend. The temperatures are around the mid-30s. You're listening to KTOO.